Okay, we are going to ask Pastor Sebastian to read the word. We are going to go to Book of Luke, chapter 12, and we are going to study from verse 13 to 33. But this time, we are not going to read the whole paragraph. We are going to go and read the words one by one. Story is about also a rich man. So far we studied about two rich men. One was a young ruler searching or seeking for the kingdom of God and eternal life. Another person we studied last week, rich man and Lazarus. And this rich man went to hell, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. Now today we are going to learn another rich man. So the story starts from verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Please read.
And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me.
Now here, the story did not say about the rich man right away. But here we read there is a one man in the company, means one man was following Christ. And as he following, he start thinking, I'm going to tell Jesus Christ that my brother is not giving my inheritance. Maybe his father died and his older brother took everything and he's not giving anything to him. So he thought, I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to speak to my brother and tell him to divide my inheritance with me. Now that was his idea. He did not know that Jesus will hear his prayer, Jesus will help him or not, but he thought Jesus Christ is a great man, is a miracle working man, and many people are following him. So his words has power. So if he says something to my brother will listen. That's what he was thinking. But the Jesus Christ gave him the answer. Let's read the verse 14.
And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?
Now, Jesus Christ did not want to give him the right answer, okay, I'll come and help you or something like that. Just like Martha said, Jesus, don't you know that I'm working hard and Mary is not helping? Why don't you tell her to help me? But Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. But the Mary has chosen the right path or the best thing, and nobody can take it from her. Now the same way this man is saying, tell my brother to give me my portion of my inheritance. And now Jesus Christ says to him, man, here he says man, sound like a rough way Jesus Christ talking. Other Bible I read, he says, friend, who made me the judge or a divider over you? Now, somebody will say Jesus Christ is a wise man and he can give me some good judgment and he can talk to my brother and my brother will listen to Jesus and then he will divide his property properly. He got a good idea. But Jesus Christ saying, I'm not a judge, I'm not a divider. Somebody will say, the word of God says Jesus Christ is the judge. Let's read the St. John chapter 5, verse 22.
For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
Now he says, Father is a judge, but he has given the authority also to his son to judge. Verse 27 and 28.
And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
Now here the word of God is saying, Father is a righteous judge, and he has given the authority to his son to judge, and Jesus Christ is the righteous judge, he would have given him judgment. But at that time, Jesus said he did not come to judge anyone, because the word of God says, God did not send his son to condemn anybody, but through him the whole world might be saved. But the time will come when the Jesus Christ comes and sits in the white throne judgment, then he will be giving the judgment. Not only that, he even said, believers also will be judging. But this is not the time. Jesus Christ came this time, the first time, as a savior, as a prophet, as a teacher, but he did not come as a judge and divider. So he said, I'm not a judge right now, and I'm not a divider, so I cannot do these things. But he gave him a good advice. Let's read the Luke chapter 12, verse 15.
And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
Now hear Jesus Christ saying, Pay attention to me, listen carefully, beware. Now when you say beware, means very dangerous thing. Beware of dog, or beware of lion, or beware of some kind of danger. So he's saying, listen to me carefully what I'm going to say. Beware, covetousness is a dangerous thing. The covetousness can take you to hell. It's a very dangerous thing. So he says, beware. Don't be greedy. Don't be covetous. Because man's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. Whatever he has, whatever he possesses, that is not is going to give you longer life or shorter life. We just learn. Lazarus was a poor man. Other man was a very rich man. Lazarus died, and angels took him to the Abraham's bosom. Rich man died, and he went to hell. So whatever the money he had, that money could not help him to prolong his life longer than the Lazarus life. So God says God has appointed time. Once to die, after that judgment. So you are poor or you are rich. That has nothing to do with your life. Children, young children died. Middle-aged people died. Old people died. Rich people's children died. And the poor people's children died. So life is not in your, how much money you have. Some people say, oh, rich people have money. They can have doctors, good medicine, and this and that. But sometimes you can do everything to prolong your life. But it is impossible for man to prolong your life. Not a single doctor in this world can tell you, before he does any kind of surgery, can give you guarantee that you will be 100% all right. They will tell you to sign the dotted line. If something goes wrong, you should not be suing the doctor. That means no guarantee they can give. So the word of God says the same way, the money cannot give you guarantee how long you're going to live. So our life is not in a richness or not in poverty. Whatever the life you are living, if you are living for God, then God decides how long you're going to live in this world. Okay, let's go to the verse 16, Luke 12:16.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully.
Now he's giving a parable, an example to these people who are listening, his disciples also listening, and all the audience, they are listening. Now he said, I'm going to give you an example, a parable. There was a certain rich man. Now, this rich man is already rich, and how he became rich, we don't know, but he is a very rich man. And now he has lots of ground. And so he sowed, and he got lots of plentifully. Now, he's already rich. This man has a lot of money. Top of that, he has a lot of grains and everything. So now what is he doing? Let's read the verse 17.
And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?
Now he got lots of fruits, lots of grain. He says, what am I going to do? We don't have the room to store it. He didn't call any engineer. He didn't call any help from somebody. He said, I know what I'm going to do. He thought for himself. What I'm going to do, I'm going to pull down all my old barns and build a greater one. And there I'll store all my fruits and goods. That's verse 18. So now he is thinking, he's smart. He has the wisdom. He has the power. He has the money to do whatever he is thinking. And he's thinking, I got an idea. I'm going to pull down these old barns and build greater ones. And they will I bestow all my fruit and all my goods. I'm going to store it. Now this man, every year he is getting this kind of crop, but this year got more than before. So now he is thinking, I am going to store everything for myself. This man doesn't have good friends. He doesn't have mother and father. He doesn't have brother and sister. He's not even married. He doesn't have any children. We don't know he's a young or old, but he is a lonely person. But at the same time, he's a greedy. There is a verse in the Bible, it says, when you have a good crop coming, and if you store it for yourself and you don't give it or don't sell it, people will hate you. Some people are so greedy, when they have good crop or good grain, they will hold it. They will not sell it until the good price comes or the people do not have any food. That's the time they will sell it with a high price. But this man says, I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to do anything. I am going to keep it for myself. He would have said, listen, every year comes this much crop. This year is more than double. I'll store it a little bit as much as like every year. And rest of the things I can sell it or give it to the poor people or something like that. But he thought, everything is for me. And what he's saying, let's read the verse 19.
And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
Now he's talking to himself. He's saying, what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell my soul, you have so many things stored for so many years. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be happy, be merry, be joyful, and enjoy your life. That's what he was saying. He was very happy. He thought, I got a good idea, and I'm going to keep this everything for myself, and I'm going to eat it for a long time. He thought, I'm going to be retired now. I'm not going to do any farming anymore. I worked hard for this many years, so I'm going to enjoy my life. And that's why people do. They earn a lot of money, and then before they give up their job or something or get retired, they say, now let's enjoy the life. And instead of sitting at home and giving that money to charity or children or family, they said, I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to go and take a trip from everywhere in the world, enjoy some places. And we have seen some people go to some places, just newly married or just graduated from the college or just got their retirement pay or just got some kind of lottery and went for some kind of trip, and they never come back. Some of them died. So the point I'm making, this man is thinking, I'm going to enjoy for many years. I'm not going to work hard anymore. I'm going to enjoy my life. He's not thinking about anybody. He's not thinking about poor people or God or anything. He is happy about himself, and he wants to live a long, long life. Let's see what God says to him, verse 20.
But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Now God says to him, you are a fool. This night your soul will be required from you. That means tonight you are going to die. Then what's going to happen? All these things you stored, what's going to happen to all these things? Before he could answer, he might be dead. But here the word of God is saying, you are fool. Somebody will say, this man is not fool. He's smart. He knows how to make money. He knows how to gather all the food and break down the barns, an old one, and put a new one, and he got ideas. And he's a talented man. He made lots of money. Fool cannot make money. How come this man became fool? Because sometimes people are very smart, but they are spiritually fool. The word of God says, who is fool? Let's read Psalm 14, verse 1.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good.
Okay, now this scripture is in Psalm 14, 1, Psalm 53, 1. All on these chapters, you will see the man who said, there is no God, that's the person is fool. He might be very smart. He might be very educated. He might be engineer or lawyer or doctor or very highly educated. But if this person is not thinking about God, he's not a religious man, he's not praying or reading the Bible or studying the Word, or he's not thinking about God and godly thing, in the sight of God, that person is fool. So there are so many people look very smart, look very educated, but if they are not godly, they are living like a fool. But the God says there are some people are wise. Read the Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise.
He that wins souls is wise. So in this world, if you don't have any education, you don't have a degree, or you don't have any wisdom, but if you are born again, child of God, you have the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the mind of Christ, and you are smarter than anybody, because God has given you his wisdom and his heart or his mind. Why he has given us, so you can go and tell somebody how God blessed you or how you became a child of God. There are so many people dying without God and without Christ. So it is our duty to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And when we win souls for Christ, in the eyes of God, we are the wisest people. Not only that, the Word of God says if you win one soul, that will be diamond, or that will be some kind of a special stone in your crown. So winning soul is the wisest thing you can do. So there are people in this world, there are fools who do not believe in God, and they believe in their worldly thing. And some people believe in God and tell others to believe in Jesus Christ. Those people are wise. Now let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 21.
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
He that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God, those are the people of fools. So in this world we are living, the Word of God says, don't worry about these worldly treasures, because this treasure is not going to give us any kind of spiritual blessings. But God gives you richness, because some people are saying, when you read this, the Word of God says you should not have treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. That means he's saying, if some people having richness for himself, that is not good thing. Because there are people, godly people, God gives them riches, God gives them treasure, and they use it for their children and grandchildren, and they can be helpful for others. That is not bad. But God is saying, you should not be storing treasure for yourself. That is bad. Because we learned last time, we read a couple of verses, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Please read one more time.
But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day.
God made the covenant for his people, that he wants to make his people rich. He says, God gives you wealth. God gives you richness. God doesn't want you to be poor. God wants you to be blessed. So then why God is saying don't keep the treasure? He says don't keep the treasure for yourself. But God makes you rich so you can be blessing to your family, you can be blessing to your neighbors, you can blessing to the Lord's work, and you can be having a wonderful, blessed life. God does not want us to be poor. Let's read the Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it.
See, the blessings of God makes you rich, and he doesn't add sorrow to it. That means you will never be sorrowful, you will never be painful, you will never be afraid, you will never think what's going to happen to me, because when God gives you wealth, God gives you blessing, and with the blessing, the financial blessing comes, and then you will never be unhappy, because sometimes money makes you miserable. Sometimes people make a lot of money, but the money doesn't stay. Proverbs chapter 23, verse...
Oh, that's verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven.
Don't keep your eyes on your money. Because some people have plans, 5 years plan, 10 years plan. There was a one man I heard, he's a minister, but he said, I made a plan when I'm 30 years old, I have to be millionaire or billionaire. And he was working hard to make money to be a millionaire. In the midst of that, God called him Thank God that God called him, otherwise he would have gone after riches and he would have been destroyed. So the word of God says you go and make money, a lot of money, but there is no guarantee that money will be staying there. Because if you are not in the Lord, your money comes one way and goes another way. Just like a hole in the bucket or a hole in the pocket. People work, work, work. Some people are working. They buy a brand new house and they want to pay the mortgage. So they work two or three jobs to pay the mortgage and they cannot live in the house. They are living all the time in the work. And they buy the house, and when they pay up the house, at that time, the time to die. So it is not good enough to store the money or keep the money for yourself and be greedy about the money, because money has the wings. This man, the rich man, made a lot of money, and he's sitting there and talking to himself, table, a lot of grains. I'm going to store it to myself, and I'm going to sit and I'm going to enjoy, and I'm going to say to my soul, now many years, you don't have to work hard. Now we are going to retire and live and enjoy, eat and drink and be merry. God says, thou fool, tonight you're going to die. Then what you have, who is going to take care of these things? You have no brothers, no sisters, no mother, no father. You are not married, no children. What's going to happen? That's why the word of God is saying, when God gives you wealth, just thankful to God. Give the God's portion to God. And the word of God said, then he will multiply. Not only that, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be. Not only that, when you are living for God, you will have peaceful life. No sorrow, no pain, no problem. Rich people do not get even sleep. They have to take a pills or something. And sometimes they are very rich and they cannot even eat the food because some kind of sickness and disease comes. But the poor people, when they become rich, they know how they became rich, who made them rich, and they should be thankful to God and then use their money wisely for the glory of God. That's what the word of God says. God gives you wealth, and when you are blessed, he will give you richness, he will give you blessings of money, and there will be no sorrow, no pain, no suffering. So God is saying, do not be selfish, do not be greedy for yourself. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 22.
And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on.
Now he is talking to his disciples. When he is talking to that man who told him to be a judge and divider, and he told him some of the things, but now he's looking at his disciples, because disciples gave up everything and followed Christ. They were not ordinary people. They were having a business and they were partnership and they had lots of money and everything, but they gave up everything and followed Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ wants to comfort them. Verse 23, please read.
The life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment.
See what he's trying to say? Life is more precious than the food, and the body is more precious than the clothes you wear, because our life is not what you eating, the rich food or what. As I said many times, some people are not satisfied with their food. Even the wife cooks the chicken dinner, very tasty, but the husband says, oh, it tastes like a lentil. I have to go to the restaurant and eat. And there are so many people going to restaurant, and you will be surprised, there is a food like a $50 plate, $200 plate, $300 plate, and people are crazy. They are going and eating outside. But the word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone. Every word proceeded out of the mouth of God, man can live. That means food is not the one can give you longer life. There are poor people eating poor food. They also live a long life. So the people are thinking they have to eat a rich food. But the richer food they eat, they get fat and they die sooner too. But the Word of God says, you know, whatever you putting on your body or whatever you eating, that is not going to change your life for 1 second or 1 minute more than what God has given to you. Our life should be enrolled in the spiritual matter. As I said, people are going for food, hours and hours journey. There was a one person I heard, he was taking a plane and eat the fried chicken. Can you imagine how much money it takes to get a plane to go to place and then get a fried chicken? So people are addicted to certain things and they cannot live without that kind of food. Those people are not spiritually rich. Those people are not thinking about God. Those people are not thinking that there are so many poor people, they don't have food. And I'm like a fool going and spending thousands of dollars on a food and clothes. I have heard some people, they suit like a $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 suit. So these things are useless because you can just modestly wear your clothes, normal food you eat, and you will be satisfied. We are going to go to better place. The place where the golden streets and beautiful flowers and fruits and all kinds of things. There is no sickness, no disease, no pain. Jesus Christ is giving good teaching to his disciples. You gave up everything, you followed me. So far, they didn't have any problem because Jesus Christ was with them. And they had a food, they had a shelter, people were helping financially and everything. They didn't have to worry, but Jesus Christ is saying to them, let me give an example how God takes care of other animals and other birds. Let's read the verse 24.
Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?
Now, Jesus Christ is saying, consider the ravens. Now, there are so many other birds, but he gave the ravens example first. The ravens is a very crooked bird. He can steal the food and everything. But he says ravens, they are looking for a food. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather anything. But God feeds those ravens, and God feeds all the birds of the world. Not a single bird is storing anything for the future. Every day they go out, and God provides them food. So he says, if God can give to the raven and all the birds in the world, don't you think your life is much more expensive than birds? Read the verse 25.
And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit?
So he says, all these birds, and they are not thinking about anything. They are not thinking how they are going to live a long life or short life. They are not worried about. God provides everything. But you are thinking about all these things and worried. People worry too much. Worrying also one kind of unbelief. They worry too much when somebody says, oh, some problem is coming, the hurricane is coming, the rain is coming, and 1 week we'll have problems. Everybody runs to the stores, and they try to grab everything, and you will not find anything. Now, if you go to the store, you don't find the paper towels. So why the people are crazy? Because they are worried. We will not get it. So people store everything for themselves. But the Word of God says, God knows everything. If you keep on worrying, Are you going to extend your life a 1 second? No. God has appointed the day. That day we are going to die. No doctor, nobody can extend our life. Only God extends the life. So God knows how long we are going to live. So why be worrying? When the people worry too much, those are the people get sick. Worry makes you sick. People worry too much and they die early. So worrying is not going to help. That's why Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples. Verse 26.
If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest?
Now he says, simple thing you cannot do, and you cannot even extend your life 1 second. So why are you thinking about all these things? If you cannot take care of little thing, then how can you think about the other things? That means important thing is your spiritual life. But you are thinking so much about worldly thing, and you cannot extend 1 second of your life. In short, he says you should not be worrying too much. Verse 27.
Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
In the world, we have so many beautiful flowers. In Philadelphia, there is once a year, there is a flower show. And they bring all the world's flower. You don't have to go everywhere in the world. You can just go to the flower show and you can see all the world's flower. How beautiful these flowers are. So God made these flowers, different state, different country, different places, different kinds of flowers. So people, you don't have to go around the world to looking the beauty of the flowers. They come to Philadelphia. And people go there, pay money, and watch all these flowers. So he says, let me tell you, Solomon was the richest man in the world, but he could not make his clothes that beautiful, what I made the flowers so beautiful. Today you will see them. Tomorrow those flowers will be gone. But God gives them a beautiful color and beautiful fashion and everything. So he said that Solomon was a great king, but he was not able to wear better clothes than these flowers. So he said, now you think, verse 27.
Verse 27 and 28. Okay. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Now, he's saying all these flowers and the grass look so beautiful, and Solomon in his glory, he was not able to wear this kind of beautiful clothes. So these things are temporarily. They look beautiful. They look very fragile. Some of the flowers, you can touch them and they can spoil. They are very good to look at it, but some of the flowers you can't even touch. So the Word of God says, God gives him beautiful color, beautiful fashion, looks so good, but they don't live for eternity. They come for, some of the flowers comes early, and they disappear early. Some flower comes little late and they die late. But those flowers do not stay too long. When the winter comes, they're all gone. But their beauty and everything is gone. So why you worry about tomorrow? God will supply our needs. He says, even though you are very rich like a Solomon, you will not be able to enjoy beautiful, this kind of colors and enjoyment. There are so many different colors of clothes people are wearing. But he tells flowers are much more beautiful than your colors. We take our colors from some of the flowers. Okay, verse 29.
And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind.
Now, what is he trying to say? Seek ye not what you're going to eat, or what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear, and you having doubtful mind. That means you're worried about things. Some people eat the breakfast, and they're thinking about the lunch. Some people eat the lunch thinking about the dinner. Some people, some ladies, they are always in the kitchen cooking the lunch and all of a sudden cooking the dinner. And after dinner, they will ask our children, do you want anything before you go to bed? So they are always cooking, always thinking, always worried about worldly things. He says, you are doubtful, you have doubtful mind. Why you worry too much? Why you thinking about too much about food and this and that? He says, those are the people thinking about those things. Those people are not born again Christians. The Christian people should not be thinking about and what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to wear and these things. We don't have to worry. Sometimes some people make so many delicious food, so many dishes. I tell my wife, I want only little bit, one dish, one curry, one rice or one chapati, whatever. I don't want so many dishes because we have to spend too much time on cooking all those things. We don't have to worry. We are not living for food. We are living for God. Let's read the verse 30.
For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things.
See, he said, the worldly people, the people of this world, they are thinking about these things, worried about these things. But he says, your Father knows about your need, and he will supply your needs. That's why Philippians 4:19, he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we don't have to worry about the worldly things, worldly food, worldly treasures. God will supply. Verse 31.
But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Now he says, rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. But Matthew writes a little bit better. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
See, Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. So God wants us to seek his kingdom, his righteousness, and then God will supply all our needs. If you go for the food, go for the riches, go for the worldly thing, they keep on moving and we go after them. There is not a single person satisfied when he's looking for the treasures or money. They will make $100 a day and they start making $1,000. They will not satisfy with $1,000. There are some people making hourly wages, maybe $200, $300, $500,000 hour, and they are not satisfied. They make a six-figure salary, then they want seven, then eight, and they make million, they want to make billion. And people are never satisfied because they want to make more and more and more. But the Word of God says you don't have to do that. Those are the worldly people. And worldly people, they treasure everything. And he gave an example of this rich man. He says, thou fool, tonight you're going to die. And what's going to happen to all these things? So we are going to die one day. If you are a rich, then you will be keeping your richness for your children and your grandchildren. And God will not add any sorrow. You will be dying peacefully without any problem. Because God says, why are you looking all these things? The worldly people are looking. But God knows your needs, and He will supply your needs. Let's read the verse 32.
Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Can you imagine? He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, I want to make you king. I want to give you the kingdom. Why you worry? Jesus' disciples said, Jesus, we forsook all and we followed you. What are we going to get? He said, you're going to get 100-fold in return what you gave. Plus, you're going to get the kingdom of God. You will be kings and priests. So he's saying to his disciples, don't worry. Our God has already decided to give you the kingdom. You're going to be kings. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to walk on the golden road. Why are you worried about this world? Don't keep the treasure for yourself. Because if you keep this treasure, you will be worried about your treasure. Let's read the Matthew chapter 6. Please read verse 19 to 21.
Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also.
Same scripture we read in Luke chapter 12, verse 33, but Matthew is saying a little bit better. Let's read the verse 33. Luke 12:33.
Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupteth.
Now some people will not like the Luke what he's saying. Luke saying, sell everything, and give it to the poor people, and God will provide you. Don't keep the treasure in this world, because if your treasure will be, you know, moth will be eating and all kinds of things will happen. So everything corrupts. So sell everything and give it to the poor. But the Matthew tells a little bit better. He says, do not keep your treasure in this world. That doesn't mean if you have treasure, sell it and give it to the poor. Your treasure in this world, if you are not godly, that treasure will destroy your life. Because your mind will be in the treasure, your mind will be the money, and you're a money-minded person, you will never be satisfied how much you have. You always, rich people will never say, oh, I had enough now. Just like this fool, he said, I got enough. I'm going to enjoy my life. But the God says, tonight, you're going to die. What's going to happen to your all these treasures? So our treasure should be in heaven. We are not looking for the worldly treasure. But the God says, you're looking for the kingdom of God, you're looking for spiritual life, and you didn't ask me anything, I'm going to supply all your needs, plus I'm going to give the wealth and riches, the world's riches, I'll give it to you, and then you will not have any sorrow, you will not have any pain. Nobody thief will come and take it from you because you are living for God. So in short, God is trying to tell us, we are living in this world, we live for God. Now the Thanksgiving is coming. Many people are thinking, I don't have a turkey, I don't have this thing and that thing. They want to have a perfect dinner. Whatever the Thanksgiving the dinner you have to have all the items. If the one item is missing, somebody says, oh, there is no cranberry, oh, there is no mashed potato, there is no gravy, or something is lacking. But if you are a child of God, you are not going to worry if you're eating turkey, or you're eating a chicken, or you're eating a raw bread. I have heard some of the Christian religious people do not have anything to eat. And the mother says, children, take the plate there, put it on the table, and just prayed. And one person says, what are you going to eat, the plate or something? He said, just pray and God will provide. And as they prayed, somebody knocked at the door and he says, there is turkey or whatever, all this food, I have it for you. And they got everything. So the word of God says, if you trust in the Lord, God will provide. God is all-sufficient God. In this Thanksgiving, we don't have to fight for food. We don't have to be greedy for something. Just thank God and just praise God. And if it is possible, try to help your neighbors or friends or who doesn't have it. Because Thanksgiving is just thanking God, not only for food alone, but thank God that we are alive. There are so many people sick and died, and you will see so many people this Thanksgiving and Christmas, their dinner table chairs might be empty, maybe some places one chair missing, one person missing, some places maybe three or four people missing in a one family. You have to say, thank God we are alive. We are thankful to God that God has provided a life for us. But we have to be thankful for eternal life. Jesus Christ came into this world. He took our sorrow, our pain, even the death penalty, and he gave his eternal life to us. We should be thankful. Say, Lord, we're thankful. We are so thankful. You have given us everything what we need. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about food. We don't have to worry about shelter. We don't have to worry about anything because you are our source of supply. Our God is called what? El Shaddai. David said, Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Our God is there to supply all our needs. So let's pray. First, we should thank God that he has given us eternal life. What we have in this world, that is not going to extend our life 1 second. But God has given us eternal life, and we should be thankful. So let's pray and ask God. Say, Lord, thank you for giving me eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving all my sins. In this world, I did not bring anything. Out of this world, I cannot take anything. But you have given me eternal life. One day I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to live in heaven for eternity. But the short period of time I'm living in this world, Lord Jesus, you protect me from all the dangers and harms and sickness and disease and poverty and all kinds of problems. Give me grace to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray this prayer, you will be having peace in your heart. You will know that if you die tonight or today, you will have eternity with Jesus Christ. We don't have to die like this man as a fool. He says, thou fool, tonight you're going to die. So we don't have to die like a fool. We'll die like a wise man. We'll die like a child of God. And our death is the precious in the sight of God. So we are not looking for dying, we are looking for living. If Jesus Christ comes today, we don't have to die. We will be transformed and go with Jesus Christ. Let's pray that God will give us grace and peace for this Thanksgiving time. No fighting, no war. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for your children. Some of the people thinking what I'm going to get for Thanksgiving, what I'm going to get for Christmas, and they are planning and thinking and worrying. But you already told us, our God has already prepared the kingdom for us. He is going to make us a kings and priests. We don't have to worry for tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to glorify your holy name. Be with your children. Protect them, supply their needs. Give them grace to live for you and for your glory. We commit our bodies, our souls, our spirits into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray and we call it done. Amen and amen. Now may God richly bless you and use you more and more for his glory.